Hello and welcome to Colin Bradley Artcast. I'm Stephen Bradley.
And I'm Colin Bradley.
How you doing, Dad?
I'm well, Steve, thank you. How are you coping?
Coping is the word, yeah. Oof, it's hard work fitting it all in and doing bedtimes and everything. Yeah, it's tough. We're doing really well though. We're getting through. My voice is already, I can feel it. It's late. We had to skip last week because it was too hard last week to get anything in. Yeah, this week I didn't want to delay it another week, and it is late at night when we finally got around to doing this. But we're doing well, and all is well, and everyone's healthy, and yeah, we're not doing too bad. But it's hard. It's very hard. But it's also lovely at the same time, you know, watching your kids grow up and spending that time together is lovely. So how have you been, Dad? Anyway, we skipped a week, so you've made a little bit more progress, but
yes, I'm quite busy referencing, really. I'm looking at different pictures, different ideas, and I've got a few. What I'm looking for is more animals, more landscapes, and some still lifes if I can find them. They're not easy to find now. You know, I've done an awful lot, as you know, over the years. Mm. And I find something different, but I've got a few up my sleeve. I want to do some more birds. I know you like birds, and I like birds, and so I've got a few lined up, a couple of real crackers, and I want to follow the same pattern that I did, you know, with the birds on the branch and some of the lovely backgrounds. That's something that appeals to me. I've really enjoyed them. So no, that's what I've really been doing, apart from all the other things that we get up to. And of course, spring seems to be here today. We were out and about today, and it was beautiful. The sunshine was absolutely gorgeous. Bit windy, though. I don't know whether, I'm sure it is up your way too. And that is getting to us a little bit, almost constant wind. And but today it was a warm wind, which is better than a cold wind. So you can leave your gloves and the calves off, you know.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice to have some warmer weather for sure.
That's right.
Yeah, it really is nice. Nice to see some more sun. Okay, good stuff. All right, well, we're going to talk about a couple of topics today. We're going to get to the horse in a little bit, an update on how that's going. But first, I wanted to talk about a picture that was sent to us by Jeff, because Jeff was... is attempting this picture of his brother's dog. And I'm going to pop it up on screen so everyone can see this photo. Jeff says, "Hi guys, I've been asked to provide a painting of my brother's dog, Holly. He sent me this photo and I've made a start, but I'm really struggling with the pinky brown colour on the face and on the legs. Jeff's using Faber-Castell Pitt pastel pencils on the light grey pastel matte paper. Now, Dad, you've sent Jeff some advice, so I'll just remind you of that. But I thought it would be good for us to share that advice with everyone else at the same time, because it is interesting, and colour combinations are something that I know people find really interesting to see how you would go about trying to achieve a colour combination. We always preface the advice that give it a go on the spare paper just to check that, you know, you're getting the color that you want before you go ahead and do it on the actual painting. Anyway, Dad, just to remind you of your advice, firstly, you suggested a sand colored paper. Now, Jeff's made a start on a light gray, but why would you choose sand? Does that just aid you in this kind of picture?
Well, I do it instinctively, and I look at the picture and it just pops in my head, you know. But the reason I would pick sand is simply because of this pinky browny tone, it gives you a head start. So the sand colour would be really the ideal. If you start on light grey, you've got a lot of work to do to get put colours on that then eventually will give you the tone that you want. Well, you hope it will give you the colour you want. But having the sand, particularly, I've got to say, the pastel matte. Now, it could be that Jeff's not using pastel matte. He may be using ombre. Well, ombre is sand anyway, or the sand colour we have. But the pastel matte sand is a little stronger, a little deeper. And it means you wouldn't have to work quite so hard with that browny colour. You know, this keeps coming up. This particular colour is very popular with animals, but it's very difficult to find. And the other thing about that is it true? When you take a photograph, is it true to the colour? Because very often the colours change with lighting, you know, sunshine and dull days and so on. The colours can change, and this colour can change quite a lot. But I've always said, if you've got a photograph, you just got to go by that photograph. I mean, usually if the photograph's been taken, the owner of the dog is happy with it. Otherwise, he wouldn't put it forward. Therefore, you've got the permission, really, because of that, to actually follow what you can see on the picture, which is what I've done in my analysis here. So let's assume that we've got the sand colour paper.
Yeah.
Then you've got to, the first thing you've got to do is neutralise. Now, I've said sand, but you can't use the sand as a colour and just put colours into it and hope it's going to work. It's not. You've still got to put a colour on that will have a reception for those stronger tones that you're going to use. So I would probably put a grey on. 270 would be the colour I would think. Now, why that? Well, 270 is an earth colour, and this is an earthy tone we're trying to find. So if you start putting 233 or 230 in, you've still got to work hard, because then you've got to kill that colour off and make it less blue, you know, that blue hue you get. So I would say 270 would be a good neutral colour to use. Then, and this is a surprise, Jeff said the pinky brown, didn't he? Well, it does give you that, you know, I've got it on my screen at the moment and I've just lost it. There we are. So I would use the pink, which, now the safest pink to use is 132. It's safe because it hasn't got a great deal of pigment in it. It's what I use for base colours for portrait work. So it will work very well here. So 132. Then you've got to use an ochre. I think I would probably use, what did I say, 1867? 187, I think, did I?
You said 186. Yeah, you said 186, and then 283 and 177 to darken.
Well, what I would do there, if you can practice on paper here first, I'd try it with 186 and then try it with 187. The difference between the two is 187's a little, it's not quite so rich. Okay, 186 is a rich colour, getting towards orange, really. Where really here, 187 might be a better colour, either or. They both probably would work because you're going to put colours on top of them. 283, for instance, would go on top of it. And then the browns. Did I say 177?
Yeah, 177 and 283, potentially.
But I've got to tell you, even though I've said that, now I haven't practiced this, so I don't know. Absolute sure. Very often when you're doing something like this, another thing pops into your head while you're doing it. And that's what Jeff's got to do. He's got to see it. Isn't this not working? That's really the best advice I can give you. It's a very, very tricky colour, as people, I'm sure, would know that if they've tried something like this. I mean, I would say try to avoid doing it, but you can't, because that's the animal and you're stuck with it. But what I'm going to try to do is I'm going to try to find a subject. Actually, I did have one in mind. It wasn't a dog. It was a cat. We've got that gingery look to it, you know. And I thought it would be nice if I can do something like that. But that's going to be down the line. Can't wait for that.
Yeah. Interesting, though. Interesting. And I think that the more it's how I've, you know, I feel like I've learned so much, and I'm sure our listeners feel the same way in hearing you talk about color combinations and how you achieve that end result, as well as watching all of the stuff that you've done. That theory of application, it sinks in, you know, and I think that the more we share on this and the more people hear these different color combinations, I think it's providing them with some really good theory. So
you also remember, too, that this is a work of art. You're not trying to replicate a photograph. You're trying to give a good impression of the animal. Now, I know you've got to be reasonably accurate, but you have got a bit of leeway, really. You can, you know, this is how I see it, you know. I mean, that doesn't wash with some people. Go, oh, don't look like mine. Don't, same colour as my dog, cat, horse, whatever. But really, when you're commissioned to do something like this, it's got to be realised that you can't, and would you want to reproduce it exactly? Probably not. It's very hard. It's a difficult thing, this, especially when a commission, when it's not a commission, and you can happily go away, then you can make these changes and get away with them. Not so easy when it's a commission, though. That's why it's one of the hardest things to do.
Well, good luck, Jeff. Let us know how you get on, and I hope that's been interesting to other people as well, about understanding how you'd have a go at that kind of colour and where your mind goes with those colour build-ups. Let's move on to an updated picture of the horse, because I know that you'd made a start on that when we last spoke, and I think it'd be quite nice to see an updated one. And this, I mean, it just, you know, I mean, you've nearly finished it in this picture, in terms of the actual horse themselves. So let's have a look. And I, last time we spoke a couple of weeks ago, I asked and sort of posed a question to our listeners about how they would do that hair over the eye, whether you would do the eye first or the hair first. I can't remember what I said now. I think I said that you would potentially do the hair first and try and work in to the hair. So how did you actually do that section?
Well, that's not finished yet. It is now, because I've finished it, but it wasn't finished at this stage. So this stage was, what do you do first? Well, you do it both more or less at the same time. Little bit of this, little bit of that, little bit of this. But the first thing that goes on is the hair, so that you've got an idea. But you must, you can't just put the hair blanket on and then expect those darker colours to go into the light. It won't do that. So what you've got to do is you've got to position the hair more or less as you want it, as you see it, but leaving space, leaving gaps, really, especially when you've got the sand colour. Once again, we're talking about sand colour again. Look how nice that looks against the horse. You could almost leave that, couldn't you, as a background? I don't, and I'm not, but you could do. Therefore, you've got that advantage, really, when you put the hair in. That's the, what I'd be using, the white and the ivory would be the two colours, with a little bit of grey, and then put that hair, but don't finish it. Don't even think about finishing it. You're just putting it in so that you see and can then pick out the eye beneath. No, what you can't also do is you can't put the eye in. You can't guess the eye and then hope the light colours, white, ivory, goes across it. It won't do that. You did, or you could rub it out. No, you can't. This is one thing you can't do. You've got, and people will see this because they're going to see the original, me doing it. So you've got to do a little bit of this, a little bit of that, and work it together so you get the two. You don't have to get it absolutely spot on. That's not spot on. I mean, it probably looks it there, and if I blow that up on my screen, it looks pretty good, doesn't it? But that's not finished, because you've also got, adding to the degree of difficulty, you've got the background to work within that too. Okay, so that's another consideration.
Is it very sharp pencils? Is that the only way that you can get in amongst those hairs to do that eye?
Yes, you've got to have a good point. If you don't have good points, then you're not going to cut in. But what you can't do is you can't cut into the dark and expect that to register light. You can't do that. It won't work. Well, you can, but it's not going to work. It's very, very hard to do it. I don't find it difficult because I've done it so many times now. But I do say, when I was doing this, I do say on the video, now, remember, we've got a background here. And at this stage, I hadn't done the background. So, I had an idea. You've only got to look at the original picture there. If you look at if I can pull that back, you've got the picture there. Now, the background that I wanted to do and will do and have done is more or less that greeny, ochre colour. Forget all about the whites that are there. That look awful. If you look at the top of the head above the ear on the original picture, you can see that that is greeny, ochre, yellowy colour. That's the colour that I intended to do it. You've really got to have that, because if you don't do that, you're floundering a little bit when you come to do the eye, which is the hardest bit really to do.
And then you've got to work that background in and around that white hair.
Again,
that's got to be nervous. That's got to be nerve-wracking, isn't it?
Well, not for me, it's not, because I know what to do. But anybody not knowing what to do, yes, it would be. What do I do first? How do I do it? What you do is you use sharp points again. You work your background into the hair. Are you with me? If you imagine you're going into the hair, you've got the hair coming over, you've got the dark colour, and your background goes into that. And you very, very gradually, you work the two together.
And then do you go back over the hair after you've put the background in?
Yeah,
well, try to re-establish that.
That will work, because you've already established it. You see what I mean? You've got the white there and the ivory there. It's already there. So once you put the background, even if some of the colour transfers itself to that white and to that ivory, it will still go back over the top of it. But it's no good putting that on and then expecting the white and the ivory to go over there without having it already there in the first place. I hope that makes sense. It's going to make sense when you see it. You see it.
Yeah. And the rest of that hair looks so realistic. It looks so fine. And you've absolutely nailed that short hair texture in the centre of the head.
I don't like to throw teasers out, but you wait and just see it next week. If you think that's good, you wait and see it. Because when I was doing this, I was mindful of the fact that I had to work in the direction of the hair. That was critical. If I didn't do that, if I went willy-nilly, it wouldn't look right at all. So I had to keep that. But once you get into that routine, it's fairly straightforward. And it looks stunning, I've got to tell you.
Yeah.
And the hair across the, that's across the top of the head, that's pretty good. It's coming up more or less as you see it there, but I refined it more. So you've got a more realistic look to it.
Not a lot of colour shape. I don't feel like there's a lot of colour shaper work in that. Like, as in, it doesn't look too smoothly blended.
Oh, there is. There is. Yes, there is. But you don't, when you're using a colour shaper, Steve, and I'm sure people would would know what I'm talking about. You don't blend it all. You use the colour shaper to move sometimes you're using it just to blend, almost like you would using a pencil. Do you know what I mean? In the same way. But yes, there is a lot of colour shaper. I couldn't have done this without it at all. It wouldn't have worked. Both the pointed colour shaper and the chisel, both of those were used in there. I think if you only had one of them, then the pointed one would be the one to use, because that would give you the hair. And basically, once you put the hair in and you've got the darker colours that contrast with that, you can then use that pointed colour shaper just to go back over it almost again and smooth it out. And it's a wonderful, effective way of doing it.
Yeah. It's looking absolutely astonishing. We'll save the finished picture till next week. And we'll talk a little bit about that and see how you've interspersed that background in around that hair. And we'll talk about that in a little bit more detail. But it's looking absolutely fantastic. I know that people are very excited about this one, not only because horse pictures are very popular, but it is such a different horse picture to what you've done in the past. And that combination of long hair and short hair on the face is very attractive. I can see why you chose this one.
Yeah. Yes, I chose it. I think we talked about that last week, didn't we? I chose it because it was tricky. Not the normal, usual ones that I've done. I've done quite a few now. Must have been half a dozen horses, I reckon. But nothing like this. This one stood out to me. Scruffy. Bit scruffy, but lovely.
Excellent stuff. All right. Well, as always, if anyone has anything they'd like us to discuss, then please get in touch with us and we'll do our best to talk about it on the show. Obviously, as I said, next week we'll talk about the finished horse picture and show that on screen so everyone can see how that's come out. And if you're not already aware, these pictures that we talk about, the projects that you're working on, Dad, are all filmed. They'll all be coming to the website. I don't know if I mentioned last time, but the tulips picture has been added to the website. So we have another still life picture for people to get stuck into. Sort of miniature, sort of not, kind of an in-between miniature, very small picture, but perhaps not tiny. But either way, a really good one to get your teeth into. So if you want to check that out, head over to our website and give it a watch. But for now, I think we will leave it there for this week. I'm going to go to bed.
You deserve it.
But thank you, everyone, for watching and listening. As always, I'm Stephen Bradley.
And I'm Colin Bradley.
Enjoy your week.